Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Absa has announced a BEE deal that I strongly feel is a missed opportunity. The investable universe of BEE structures is woefully small, to be honest, limited to just a couple of telecom structures, Vodacom and MTN, and then MultiChoice, Sasol, and honestly not much else of interest. Old Mutual's recent deal was an opportunity for black shareholders to invest, but it will be years before the shares can actually be traded. A banking structure would have been a welcome addition to this universe, but Absa unfortunately decided to go with a CSI trust and a staff scheme instead, leaving no space for retail investor participation. And I can't help but feel that the brand would actually have benefited from giving retail investors a chance to participate in a leveraged structure, especially because the bank is capable of giving incredibly cheap funding to such a structure. RCL Foods is selling Vector Logistics, a company that has been considered non-core for quite some time now. Vector is South Africa's leading frozen food logistics operator. So I can understand why RCL went with the vertical integration route in the first place, but I can also understand why they are letting it go. With a 1.25 billion rand price ticket, the buyer is an emerging markets infrastructure fund that is part of the AP Møller Capital Stable, a Danish group. It's really good to see some foreign investment coming into South Africa, even if we shouldn't be too surprised that we get an allocation from an emerging markets fund. And for those interested in deal structuring, there's an earnout and clawback structure here that will see RCL get paid out in full, with an adjustment based on EBITDA for 2023 and 2024 that could see it paying back some of the money or potentially receiving more, depending on which way it goes, and capped to 100 million rand in either direction. Metair must have the worst luck of any company on the JSE. Not only did the floods wipe out its biggest customer, Toyota South Africa, for several months, but the other division in the group found itself operating in a hyperinflationary economy, Turkey. I suppose the silver lining here is that at least the earthquakes in Turkey managed to miss the operations. But before you get too excited about a change in luck at Metair, I must point out that the interim CEO of the company has now been in an accident and is thankfully recovering at home. This led to a postponement of the financial results presentation and roadshow. After such an awful year, I would also postpone it unless I was feeling 100% up to doing it. HEPS collapsed spectacularly from 354 cents to a loss of 17 cents, and cash generated from operations fell from 649 million rand to 152 million rand. With the Ford Ranger production now on stream and Toyota South Africa having recovered from the floods, the local automotive components business does look set to have a far more enjoyable year. But no matter how we cut it, a big slice of the value has shifted from equity holders to debt holders. Net debt is up to 2.6 billion rand from 1.3 billion rand, and net debt to EBITDA is at 4.4x versus 0.9x previously. The group has breached its debt covenants with borrowers. But there's no discussion at this stage about recalling borrowings or levying penalties. Metair has had such a torrid time that even the bankers seem to have taken pity on its soul. I touched on York last week, but the company has now released its earnings report and it deserves another, albeit shorter, mention. There's no doubt that the situation at York is worrying, with the opening paragraph talking about a need to urgently improve operating efficiencies. With revenue down 7% in the 6 months to December and HEPS falling 30% to 11.9 cents, conditions are far from favourable. The impact on cash is even worse, with cash generated from operations plummeting from 119 million rand to just 46 million rand. That is not what you want to see when the level of gearing is 8.6 times EBITDA. If they don't get things right at York, I fear that we might even see another equity capital raise. In news from another company that you'll find squarely in the JSE's basket of pain, we now move to Nampak. There is a chief restructuring officer in place, which is not the type of thing you want to see as an equity holder. And the other thing you don't want to see is the high likelihood of a rights offer. This is unfortunately a condition of a restructuring of Nampak's debt, with the quantum of the rights offer currently being debated. The problem at Nampak is that the earnings generated in countries like Nigeria are being ruined by a need to get the currency out through what Nampak calls a secondary spot market. This is basically a market with revolting exchange rates because getting the money out through the official market, I suppose, is just too hard. The Forex losses are huge, coming in at 436 million rand for the 5 months ended February. Unable to really make a dent in the debt because of these Forex losses, Nampak has seen its net interest costs increase by a whopping 45%, and on top of everything else. Consumer markets are under pressure at the moment as inflation takes its toll on volumes being purchased. Nampak has lost 3/4 of its value in the past 12 months, and I still won't go anywhere near it. A company that has been to hell and back is EOH, showing that these things can sometimes be rescued under the right conditions. With the rights offer behind it rather than in front of it, EOH may well have bottomed. In a trading statement for the 6 months ended January 2023, the company grew revenue modestly and largely maintained its gross profit margins. This was good enough for operating profit to be somewhere between flat and 20% higher. The net profit story was still poor for this period, but that's because the debt had not been addressed yet. The rights offer reduced the debt substantially after the end of this reporting period. Maybe, just maybe, EOH can head in the right direction from here onwards. Moving on to the first of two heavy equipment manufacturers, Bell Equipment released results for the year ended December and reported 28% growth in revenue and a 61% jump in HEPS. The dividend per share was up by 80%, although the payout ratio is still very low at 19%. Sadly, load shedding means that the company is looking at ramping up its German manufacturing base, which means taxes we could have earned and jobs we could have created if we had proper electricity supply, because I'm certain they would far rather be manufacturing here. But to end on a high note at least, the company is bullish about demand for its products going into 2023, especially as supply chains seem to have loosened up somewhat, making it easier to avoid lost sales because of not having enough inventory. And finally, Barloworld. With Zeda now separately listed and the mobility business outside of Barloworld, the focus is on the yellow goods and the consumer industries businesses. Barloworld still needs to navigate the difficulties of Russia, where revenue is down 53% in the 5 months ended February, and operating profit is down 37%. The Russian business is self-sufficient in terms of funding at least, so a really tough situation isn't being made harder by a need to decide whether or not to invest further capital into Russia. Equipment Southern Africa is doing well though, with revenue up 41.8% and operating profit up 35.9%. The firm order book is strong, much like it is at Bell. In Mongolia, it's more of the same, with revenue up 44.6% and operating margins expanding. The consumer industries business unfortunately tells a very different story. Revenue is up by 23.2%, but EBITDA, that's down by 12.4%, which means a major contraction in operating margins. On the whole though, Barloworld seems to still be on the right side of this cycle. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.